Okay, so welcome back, everyone. So we're up to Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis. Officially, this is Daf Chav Tes. We'll get there in a minute. But before we begin, I think last we met a couple of weeks ago, we said that we had to stir up a little bit, clear up a little bit the top of the Daf. So let's do that. So let's just begin very briefly from the top of the Daf, and then we'll skip back down to the bottom for a second. So if you remember last time we met, so we had this statement that was made. We'll just continue from Amud Aleph for a second. So it says, Amar Le Mark Kashisha Breid Rav Chista Ravashi. So this individual named Mark Kashisha asked a question or said something to Ravashi. So what did he say? So now we're on the top of Chaf Ches Amud Beis. So he says, My Shna Halel Dedach Yididei. He says, why is Halel different in that it suspends its own ma'amad, right? That when it comes to Halel, if you have a day of Halel, then if you remember, then the ma'amad service of Shacharis is cancelled. And then, Umay Shna Musaf Delo Dach Yididei. Why is Musaf different in that it doesn't suspend its own ma'amad, meaning that the Musaf offering, whenever you have a Musaf offering that's brought, we don't suspend the ma'amad service of Musaf. So why, right? We suspend the later ma'amad. So why is that? So I'm Rather Ravashi. Ravashi says back to him, Hashta delav didei dachi, since the Musaf offering suspends the offering of Mincha, which is not its own ma'amad, didei lo kol shekin. So is it not for sure that it's going to suspend its own ma'amad as well? So he says back to him, yeah, it's true. When it comes to the ma'amad service of Halel, it only cancels out, when it comes to Halel, it'll cancel out its own ma'amad service, meaning the ma'amad service of Shacharis is going to be canceled out. But the ma'amad service of Musaf, whenever there's a Musaf offering that is brought, so that day it's going to cancel out the ma'amad service of Musaf, and it's going to cancel out the ma'amad service of Mincha. So Amar Leh, so Mar Kashisha said to Ravashi, no, hachi kamina lach, that's exactly what I was asking you. Lo lidchei ala didei, right? So the Musaf offering shouldn't be suspending any ma'amad service other than its own. It should only be suspending the Musaf ma'amad service. Okay, fine. So in other words, he's asking, why does it specifically suspend the Mincha ma'amad service? So Amar Leh, so Ravashi says back to Mar Kashisha, Iker Rabbi Yossi de Kai Kavasei Chir, right? There's actually a Tana, Rabbi Yossi, who has the same opinion as you, meaning in other words, according to some, the ma'amad, the whenever there's a musaf offering that it's brought, it's going to cancel out the musaf ma'amad service, and it's still going to cancel out the mincha ma'amad service. However, according to others, aka Rabbi Yossi, and evidently you, Mark Kashisha, whenever there's a musaf offering brought, it's not going to cancel out mincha, it's only going to cancel out the musaf. So what does Rabbi Yossi hold? How do we know that Rabbi Yossi holds like you, Ditanya? Because it was taught in a brisa. Rabbi Yossi says, kol yom sheish bo musaf yesh bo ma'amad. On any day when a Musaf offering is brought, there is a Ma'amad service. What does it mean, there is a Ma'amad service? So let's see. Ma'amad Demai. Which Ma'amad service is Rabbi Yossi talking about? Elim Ma'amad de Shacharis. If you want to say that Rabbi Yossi is talking about the Ma'amad of Shacharis, well, that doesn't make sense. Because HaTanakama, not MiHachikama, because this is exactly, the Tanakama also holds this way. Everyone holds that whenever the Musaf offering is brought, of course, there's still going to be a Ma'amad service of Shacharis. There's no reason to cancel that one out. Ela Ma'amad de Musaf. Rather, Rabbi Yossi must refer to the Ma'amad of Musaf, right? But that doesn't make any sense. Why? Because Didei Nami Lo Dachi, because it's not going to be possible that when there's a Musaf offering that's brought, that it's not going to cancel out the Musaf. The Musaf Ma'amad service, so fine. So far we know as follows. We know that for sure there is a Ma'amad service of Shacharis, but that was not what Rabbi Yossi is referring to, and we know that there is not a Ma'amad service of Musaf, because clearly whenever there's a Musaf offering that's brought, it's going to cancel out the Ma'amad service of Musaf. Ela de Mincha, rather Rabbi Yossi must refer to the Ma'amad service of Mincha, that's going to be the one that's still going to be taking place, but that can't be either. Why? Because Karban Eitzim Dachi, because when Rabbi Yossi made his comment, that the Ma'amad service is going to be taking place whenever there's a Karban Musaf that's brought, it must be that he's talking about all the situations, whenever there's a Musaf Karban that's brought, well then clearly there will always be a Ma'amad service that takes place. Well, there are some days that a Ma'amad service of, there are some days when a Musaf offering is brought, and also the Karban Eitzim was brought, which means that the Karban Eitzim is going to knock off the Mincha Ma'amad service as well. Ela lav de Ne'ila, so fine. So therefore say as follows, Rabbi Yossi must be referring to the Ma'amad service of Ne'ila, meaning Rabbi Yossi holds that the Ne'ila Ma'amad is held even on days when a Musaf offering is brought. So therefore, Shma Mina Didei Dachi. So learn from this that according to Rabbi Yossi, even though the Musaf offering is going to suspend its own Ma'amad service, the Musaf service, the Lav Didei Lo Dachi, it doesn't suspend a Ma'amad service that's not its own. Shma Mina. So we see from here there is another Tana that holds like this Mark Kashisha, that evidently Rabbi Yossi holds that the Ma'amad service, that whenever a Musaf offering is brought, it's only going to cancel out the Ma'amad service of Musaf, but it's not going to cancel out any other Ma'amad service, just like Mark Kashisha held. Okay, so with that, we just wanted to make sure we got that reading right. Okay, so now let's go to the bottom of Chaf Ches Amud Beis, which is where we left off last time. So we were in the middle of discussing, explaining how we know that various things took place on Shiva Asar Batamas, right? Remember in the Mishnah, it lists the five things that took place on Shiva Asar Batamas, five things that took place on the 17th of Tamas, and five things that took place on Tisha B'Av. So how do we know that all these things took place on the 17th of Tamas? So we explained last time the Hufka Ha'ir, right? The notion that the city was breached, that was happening on the 17th of Tamas, but we are now on four lines up from the bottom, where Sarf Apostamas is a Torah. So let's begin. The last skinny line of Chaf Ches Amud Beis, four lines up from the bottom. Sarf Apostamas is a Torah. How do we know that Apostamas burned the Torah? Gemara. So just one line answer. How do we know that that happened on the 17th of Tamuz? Because it's a tradition that we have. We have a tradition that Apostamas burned the Torah on the 17th of Tamuz. Okay, fine. What about Hamid Tselem Behechal Minalan? How do we know that there was an idol or some sort of graven image that was stood up, that was erected in the Hechal, that was erected in the sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash? Because we have a pasuk that shows us. What's the pasuk? Tichtiv Umeis Husar HaTamir V'latit Shakutz Shomeim. So what does this mean? So the pasuk means, and from the time that the Tamid was removed, and the mute abomination was placed. So if we know that the Tamid stopped being brought on the 17th of Tamuz, then since that's referred to in this pasuk, so it must mean that also the mute abomination over here must be talking about an idol. And so since the pasuk connects the idol with the Tamid offering stopping, so just like we know the Tamid offering stopped in the 17th of Tamuz, so now we know from this pasuk that also the idol was placed in the Heichel on the 17th of Tamuz. So that's the proof. But now the Gemara is going to say something. They ask an important question. V'chadhava, was there only one idol that was placed in the Beis HaMikdash? We've been learning there was only one idol. That's what the Mishnah seemed to say. But I thought there was more than one idol. V'haksib, v'al kenaf shkotzim mishomim. Right? And upon soaring heights will the mute abomination, will the mute abominations be, right? So what does this pasuk say? It says shkotzim, which is multiple. There's two abominations. If there's two abominations, that means that there were two idols that were placed in the Beis HaMikdash. So what do you mean only one shakutz? What do you mean only one idol? I thought there were two. So it says the Gemara Amar Rava Trehavu. There actually were two idols that were put up in the Beis HaMikdash on Shiva Asar Batamas. V'nafel chad al chavrei. But one of them fell on the other. V'tavrei leilidei. And he broke off the hand of the other one. So these two idols standing here, two statues, and one of them falls, and the other one, and the hand broke off. V'ishtakach dehava ksiv, and we find that it's written. We only list one idol, that only we say that only one idol was standing there, only the unbroken idol was standing there. So what's that about? Because the pasuk says, and now we're on the top of Chaf Tesman Aleph. Not the pasuk, but the Gemara explains the pasuk. Anas Tzavisa L'Chrovei Beisei. One idol says to the other, you wanted to destroy the house, meaning you wanted to destroy God's house. Yadcha Ashlimasli. So therefore, I paid God back with your hand. So the idol said to the other, you want to destroy God's house, meaning a house, how are you destroying God's house? Because you're going to stand in the Heichal, and now the Jewish people are going to want to serve you, the other God. So that means you're basically destroying God's house, because they're going to come to serve you, and then God's going to get angry. He's going to want to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, it says the idol to the other, so I'm going to take your hand away, and I'm going to pay that back to God as like a punishment, as a reparation for you having committed such a sin. Okay, fine. So that's how we know that the idol was stood up in the Beis HaMikdash on the 17th of Tamuz. But Tisha B'Av Nigzal was Nenu Shalo Yikansu La'aretz Minon. So fine. So now we're going to go to Tisha B'Av. Those were all the five things that happened at Shiva Asar Batamas. But how do we know about the five things that took place on Tisha B'Av? And the first thing we said was Nigzal of Asinu Shalo Yikansu La'aretz, that our forefathers had a decree put upon them that they were not going to enter into the land of Israel ever. So how do we know this? Minalan, from where do we know this? So the Gemara is going to take a very extensive approach to prove that the Meraglim came back on the 8th of Av, and if the spies came back on the 8th of Av, then when the pasuk says that the Jewish people cried that night, it must mean that they cried on the night of after the 8th of Av, which therefore is Tisha B'Av. So that's what we're trying to prove, that the Meraglim came back on the 8th of Av, and then that night that they cried must have been Tisha B'Av, which would then prove our point. So fine, so what does the Gemara say? So we're going to have a whole long history lesson here. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, V'yihi b'chodesh harishon b'shana hashenis, b'echa v'chodesh hukam hamishkan. So in the first month of the, in the second year, on the first of the month, so meaning Rosh Chodesh Nisan, in the second year that they had left Egypt, Hukam HaMishkan. The Mishkan was put up. So says the Gemara of Amar Mar. We learned previously, we know an important historical fact. Shana Rishona Asam Moshe Es HaMishkan. In the first year, Moshe built, meaning he built all the parts for the Mishkan. And then Shnia, in the second year, Hakim Moshe Es HaMishkan. He built the, he actually erected the Mishkan. V'shalach Meraglim. And that was the same year that he sent out the spies. V'ksiv, and it's written, Vayihi bashana hashinis bechodesh hashini be'esrim bechodesh na'ale ha'anan me'al mishkan ha'idus. That in the second year, in the bechodesh hashini, in the second month, that means Iyar, right? So the first month is Nisan, the second month is Iyar. Be'esrim bechodesh, that's the 20th of the month of Iyar. Na'ale ha'anan me'al mishkan ha'idus. So the cloud got up from on top of the Mishkan HaEdus, of the Tabernacle of Testimony, and when the cloud got up, that means that they understood that they had to start traveling. So fine, so now we know that we're on the 20th of Iyar, so we know, let's take a step back, we know that the spies were sent out in the second year, and we know that in the second year, after the comes the 20th of Iyar, and on the 20th of Iyar, that's when the Jewish people started traveling again. So fine, so they started traveling. V'ksiv v'yisu mehar Hashem derech shloshes yamim. It says that they traveled from the mountain of Hashem, meaning that's when they started going away from Har Sinai. So they went away from Har Sinai, and it took them, the travels were 3 days away from Har Sinai. Amar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, oso hayom saru me'acharei Hashem. So says Rabbi Chama bar Chanina that this day they like turned away from Hashem. What do you mean? Where does the pasuk get this from? So the Mefarshim explained that when it says in the pasuk Vayesu Mehar that when they traveled from the mountain, you have to read it actually exegetically as Maher. They went fastly, they moved quickly away from God, meaning Hashem spoke to them on our Sinai. That's when we got the Aseret Dibros. It was an incredible moment. It was an incredible time for the Jewish people, but they ran away quickly. 3 days, they were out of there. Whoop, you know, right out. So that's what happened on this day when they started leaving Hashem. Saru Me'achre Hashem, that they turned away from God on this day. So fine. So we know now that it was the 20th of the year they started traveling. So they traveled for 3 days. The 20th of the year, the 21st of the year, and the 22nd of the year. Fine. V'kasiv v'hasafsuf asher b'kribo hata'avu ta'eva v'yeshuvu v'yivku gam b'nei Yisrael v'gomer. And then the pasuk says, and the mixed multitude that was in Israel's midst had a desire, and the Israelites too turned and cried, right? So we know that happened. So what was that about, right? That's when they got the slav, right? When they got the meat sent to them. So they got this delicious meat that they were able to eat for how long? For it was 29 days. It was a full month of days, which we know is 29 days. So they got 29 days of eating. So fine. So let's do the math now. They traveled for 3 days, the 20th of Iyar, the 21st of Iyar, the 22nd of Iyar. And now they eat delicious meat for 29 days. Dehabuluhu Esrin Vitartin B'Sivan. So if you do the math, that brings us to the 22nd of Sivan. Good, Sam, I'm glad you got a calendar. It's helpful to have a calendar in front of you. So that brings us to the 22nd of Sivan. V'kasiv v'tisgar Miriam Shebasimim. And we know that Miriam was secluded when she got Saras. She was secluded for 7 days. Dehabuluhu Esrin V'tisha B'Sivan. And that brings us to the 29th of Sivan. So now we're the 29th of Sivan. That's where we are in the calendar. V'kasiv shalach l'chan Hashem. And the pasuk says that Moshe sent men. V'tanya v'eshrim v'tisha b'sivan shalach Moshe meraglim. And we have a Masorah that says, the Braisa that teaches, and that on the 29th day of Sivan, Moshe sent out the Meraglim. So it's an interesting point just to bring up. I don't know what the answer is, but I don't know why the Gemara had to take all this time to get us to this point. Why couldn't the Gemara just have begun with Vatanya be'esrim b'tisha b'sivan shalach Moshe meraglim? That it was thought in Raisa that Moshe sent the meraglim on the 29th of Iyar of Sivan. Because once we know that, then the Gemara says v'ksiv v'yeshuvu meitor ha'aretz mikitz arbeim yom. That we know that the pasuk says they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. So where does that leave us? So 40 days from the 29th of Sivan gets us to Tisha B'Av, which means that Meraglim returned on Tisha B'Av, and therefore that's when the Israelites cried on that night. But says the Gemara, we have a problem. If you remember how we started this equation out in the beginning, we said that we didn't want the spies to come back on Tisha B'Av. We wanted them to come back on the 8th of Av. So says the Gemara, Hani arba im yom nachi chad havu. it doesn't make any sense over here. It was really 39 days because we know that they had to have come back on the 8th. So it wasn't 40 days. It had to have been 39 days. So what's going on over here? Amar Abayi, no. Tamuz Dahahi Shasa Maluye Malyuha. That's so Abaye says that this year, so normally Tammuz is 29 days, but this year Tammuz was 30 days. And since it was 30 days, so that, what does that do for us? That gives us an extra day in Tammuz, which therefore, if you do the math, so again, they were sent away on the 29th of Sivan, and then you count 40 days, but you include a 30-day Tammuz in there. That means that ultimately the Jewish people, the Meraglim, got back on the 8th of Av, and if they got back on the 8th of Av, then that night when the Jewish people cried, that was Tishbav. Dechtiv kara alai moi l'shvor b'achurai. Right, the pasuk says that God proclaimed a set time against me to crush my young men. Right, so seemingly there was a set time to allow this bad thing, I guess, to happen to the Jewish people. And the pasuk says that the assembly, the congregation, raised their voices on that night, and they cried on that night. And so what does it mean they cried on that night? It means they cried the night after the Meraglim came back. So if the Meraglim came back on the 8th of Av, that means they cried on the 9th of Av, and that's when the decree was made that they would not be able to enter in to the land of Israel. Okay, so all of that was to give you the proof of how do we know that the decree to not enter the land of Israel happened on Tisha B'Av. Here's your answer. Says the Gemara further, we're now on the last skinny line, on Chaf Tesim and Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. There's a gear set change over here. Osa Laila Lael, that night was Tisha B'Av Hayah. That night was Tisha B'Av when they cried. Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then the Gemara quotes the famous line, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Jewish people, Atem B'chisem B'chia Shachinam, you cried a worthless, a free, you cried for no reason on this night. Therefore, I'm going to make this a night of crying for you, for the Doros, for the generations. And that's when the bad decree was made. And we understand somewhat symbolically that the Tisha B'Av will historically always be a bad day for the Jewish people until, God willing, we'll experience the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and celebration on Tisha B'Av. So fine, says the Gemara further. So that was the first thing that we know happened on Tisha B'Av. Charav Habayis Barishona. How do we know that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av? Well, says the pasuk, "Dichtiv v'chodesh hachamishi v'shiva l'chodesh." Okay, so let's do this slowly. So, in the fifth month, b'shiva l'chodesh. So the fifth month is Av. So in the fifth month, on the seventh of the month, he shnas tesha esrei shana l'melech Nebuchadnezzar, melech Babel. So that's the 19th year of the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel. Ba Nebuzardan, Rav Tvachim, and so comes along Nebuzardan, who is the captain of the executioners, Eved Melech Babel, who was a servant to the king of Babel, Yerushalayim, and so he comes to Yerushalayim, Vayasrafes Beis Hashem, and he burns the house of God. So this is not looking so good so far. To tell us that the Beis HaMikdash was burned, or was destroyed on the 9th of Av, we're not doing good so far, because the pasuk just said that it happened on the 7th of Av. Uksiv, and then it says in another pasuk, so one of these pasukim, the first pasuk we just read can be found in Malachim, and this pasuk we're about to read can be found in Yirmiyahu. So it says the pasuk of Chodesh Hachamishi in the fifth month, meaning again Av, be'asor lechodesh, on the 10th of the month, he shenas tisha asrei shana lemelech Nebuchadnezzar melech Babel. Well, again, the 19th year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, ba Nebuzardan rav tavachim, comes along Nebuzardan, the head of the chief executioner, ama lefnei melech, and he stood before the king, melech Babel stood before the king of Babel, Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim, meaning that's when the next pasuk, I think, continues to say that's when they started burning down Yerushalayim, they started burning down the Beis HaMikdash. Fine, so we have two contradicting dates. In Malachim, we're told that the Beis HaMikdash, first Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed on the 7th of Av, and in Yirmiyahu, we're told that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the 10th of Av. So how do we make sense of any of this? Betanya, son of Raisa, Ef Sharlomar b'Shiva Shaharei Kvar Ne'amar b'Asur. You can't say that it was destroyed on the 7th because it already says that it was destroyed on the 10th. V'Ef Sharlomar b'Asur. You can't say it was destroyed on the 10th. Sharei Kvar Ne'amar b'Shiva, because it says it was destroyed on the 7th. So Hakitzad. So when was it actually destroyed? So if it says the Gemara b'Shiva Nichnasu Nachrim l'Hichal on the 7th. So Nachrim. It's unclear exactly what the word Nachrim I think means over here, but Nachrim literally means, we know, non-Jews, but I think some translations are like heathens. So on the 7th of the month, on the 7th of the month of Av, the heathens entered into the Hichal, v'achlu v'kilklu bo shvi'i shemini, and they ate, and they acted very inappropriately on the 7th and the 8th of Av. B'Av, the Tishii Samach L'Chashicha, and towards the end of Tisha B'Av, Hitzisu Boes Ha'or, they lit the Beis HaMikdash on fire, V'Hayadolek V'Holech Kol Hayom Kulo, and it stayed lit. It was on fire for the entire, for the next 24 hours, through to the 10th of Av. Shenamar, Oy lanu ki pane hayom ki inatu tzalei erev. Right, that the pasuk says, "Woe unto us that the day has declined, that the shadows of evening are approaching." Right, so clearly the bad thing happened as the day was almost over. So it's the Gemara is going to take issue with this. You're telling me that we have fast on Tisha B'Av, but we know very famously that the Beis HaMikdash was not really destroyed on Tisha B'Av. The fire started close to the end of Tisha B'Av, and most of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash happened on the 10th of Av. V'hainu de'amar Rabbi Yochanan, and this is Rabbi Yochanan said. He had a famous comment in regard to this. He says, "El mali hayisi be'uso hador, if I was alive in the generation where they established the fast of Tisha B'Av, lo kavasev ele ba'asire, I would have established, not, wouldn't it be called Tisha B'Av, it would be called Tenth of Av. That would have been the fast. Because that's when most of the Beis HaMikdash, that's when most of the Hichal was destroyed, when it was burned on the Tenth of Av. But so fine. So why do the rabbis say that we fast on Tisha B'Av? V'rabbanan echalta deparona sadifa. The rabbis say that it's better that we go by the beginning of the destruction when it comes to choosing a date for the fast. The beginning of the destruction is better, but meaning, I think that the point is that the beginning of the destruction is like worse, it's more painful. Once, the Beis HaMikdash is already burning, so it's already burning, it's horrible. But when does it really hit you the most? When it actually starts, when you see the Beis HaMikdash on fire for those first few moments, that's when it really hits you, and that was on Tisha B'Av. Okay, so that's how we know the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. How do you know the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av? Uvashniya minalan. Titania megalgalin zuchus liyom zakai, the chobal liyom chayav, says the Abraisa, that whenever, if you have like a good day, then all the good things happen on that day. If you have a bad day, then all the bad things happen on that day. You get the merits on the meritorious days, and you get the bad news on the bad days. Amru, they said, kishachar beis hamigdash bereshono, usahayom, Erev Tisha B'Av Haya. So they said that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so when did it take place? So they said it was Erev Tisha B'Av. So again, Erev Tisha B'Av over here is not Erev, like we normally say, like Erev Yom Kippur, like the day before. Erev over here literally means the afternoon. So Osa Hayom Erev Tisha B'Av Haya. So that day, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it was the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, Motzai Shabbos Haya. And it was on Mose Shabbos, so meaning it was on a Sunday. Mose Shavias Haisa, and this took place in a year that was the year after a Shavias. Umeshmarta Shalyaho Yariv Haisa. Haisa, and it was during the mishmar of the family of Yehoyariv. V'halavim hayu omrin shira v'omdin al duchanam, and the Levim, they were actually in the middle of singing their songs for the service of the Beis HaMikdash, and they were standing in their place where they used to sing the songs. Uma shira hayu omrim, what songs were they singing? They were unbelievable. They were singing the pasuk of Vayashav aleim es unam v'rasa mi'etz misim. The pasuk of, and that means that in God turned upon them their own violence, and with their own evil he will cut them off. So it's incredible that you're reading that pasuk. It's a very ominous sounding pasuk, and it took place during the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so that makes a lot of sense. And the Mefarshim explained that it's unbelievable this pasuk should not have been said that day, but they were saying that day somewhat serendipitously, because that's when the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. But says the Gemara, "Velo hispiku lomar yatzmisem Hashem Elokeinu," they did not finish the pasuk. The pasuk ends, "Hashem our God will cut them off," so they didn't even finish it. They were up to those last three words, but then Ad Shabo Nachrim V'Kivshum. But at that point, that's when the heathens came in, and that's when they conquered the Beis HaMikdash. So they couldn't finish the pasuk. They couldn't finish their song. And now says the Gemara. So again, we ask the question: how do we know that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the 10th of Av? Says the Gemara: V'chein B'Shnia. Same thing happened for the second Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, unclear exactly what happened for the second Beis HaMikdash. Was it just that it was destroyed on Tisha B'Av? Was it that it was destroyed in the same exact way with all these details? A little unclear, perhaps. It certainly wasn't the Mishmar of Yehoyariv, because we know, I think we learned previously, that the Mishmar of the Mishmaros as they had in the first Beis HaMikdash were not the same as the second Beis HaMikdash. So it can't be that. So unclear exactly what details, but we know for sure, the Chaim B'Shnia, that just as we began these past few lines by saying that the good things happen on the good days and the bad things happen on the bad days, we assume that just like the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the 9th of Av, So too, we assume the second base of Mikdash was also destroyed on the 9th of Av as well. Fine. What about the next few things? So now we're up to number 4, right? We did the decree to enter into the land of Israel, or not to enter in, the first base of Mikdash and the second base of Mikdash. Now, Nilkada Beitar, how do we know that the city of Beitar was destroyed, was conquered, was defeated on Tesh B'Av, Gemara? So again, this is another thing. We have no proof. We just know it's a tradition that we have that it happened on this day. Nechrasha Ha'ir. How do we know that the city of Yerushalayim was plowed over on this day? So Tani was told on the Brisa, Kishachara Turnus Rufus Harasha Esaheichal Nigzara Gzera Al Rabban Gamliel Al Hariga. So when the city of Yerushalayim was destroyed, the Torah on the Brisa, when it was plowed over, so it was told under Brisa that Turnus Rufus, a well-known Roman general, so So when Turnus Rufus destroyed the Heichal, so he made a decree on Rabban Gamliel that he said, "Let's go kill Rabban Gamliel." Ba Adon Echad ve'amad be'beis hamedrash. Now one of the Roman officials stood in the base medrash. Ve'amar balachotim esbakish, balachotim esbakish. He said, "You with the prominent nose, we're looking for you. We're looking to kill you." So why is he called the one with the prominent nose? So either he might have had that defining feature. Maybe he did have a prominent nose, or some explain also that prominent nose also means that, like, that's what you use to refer to someone who was like the head honcho, someone who was like really in charge, Rabban Gamliel, who was in charge at the time. So that's where they were looking for the one with the prominent nose, the guy who was in charge. So Shama Rabban Gamliel heard that they were looking for him. Azal Tisa Minahu, and he went to go hide from them. Azal Legabe Bitsina, so he went secret. He went after him secretly, meaning this Roman official went after Rabban Gamliel secretly, and he says to him, "Amar le imatzilna lecha maisisli la'ama da'asi." He says, this Roman official says to Rabban Gamliel, he says, "If I save you, will you bring me with you to the world to come? Will you bring me with you to Olam Haba?" Unbelievable. Amar le hein. Rabban Gamliel says, "Yeah, if you save me, then I'll bring you to Olam Haba. I'll give you some Olam Haba." Amar le ishtabali. So he says, "Swear to me." Ishtabali. So he swore to him. Salak le igra nafil vamis. So he went up to the top of to the roof of the building and he jumped off and he died. V'gemire d'chi gizre gizirta umis chad minayo mivale ligzartayu. And so that evidently, there was a rule that the Romans had. They said, if after they establish a decree, if one of their officials dies, then they nullify the decree. Maybe it's because they like believed in omens. So they said, if one of the officials dies, that must mean it's a bad omen that the decree should not have been made. So they canceled the decree, and this Roman official saved Rabban Gamliel's life by sacrificing his own life. Says the Gemara, Yatzta bas kol v'amra, a bas kol, right, a voice from heaven came out and said the following: Adon zeh mizuman l'chaye ha'olam haba. This Roman official is prepared for Olam Haba. He gets a chelik in Olam Haba because he saved Rabban Gamliel's life, as Rabban Gamliel promised to him. Okay, now, the Gemara gives a few other stories, or at least one other story, about what happened when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Tana Rabban and the rabbis taught in a brisa, Mishacharav Habayis Barishona, when the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Niskabtsu Kisos Shaparchi Kahuna, Maftecho Sahechal Biadan. So the young Kohanim, they gathered together with keys to the Heichal in their hands. Va'alu legag ha'heichal, and they went up to the roof of the heichal. V'amru, when you think of the imagery, it's a very sad imagery. So all these young Kohanim who were, you know, just in their wee young years before they really got into the thick of doing the avod in the Beis Hamikdash, so they were very young, but they had the keys. V'amru, when they said lefanav before Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, since we weren't seen as trustworthy attendees, trustworthy overseers of the keys to the Beis Hamikdash, they said, we're here to give you back the keys. So it's a very weird image, but all these young Kohanim stood on top of the roof of the Heichal, and they said, here, they were holding up their hands, and they said, here is the keys back. Take the keys back to your house, Hashem. V'zorkim kalpe mala, they threw them upwards. V'yatzta, now this is even more interesting. V'yatzta ke'in. Pisa siyad v'kibalta mehem, and now something like the palm of a hand came out, reached out from Shemayim, and it caught all the keys. V'heim kaftzu v'naflu l'toch or, and then all the Kohanim jumped off the roof and they fell into the fire and they died. V'alehen konin Yishayahu hanavi, and about them, Yeshayahu wrote a kina. He lamented about them. Masa gi chizayon malacha ifo ki alis kulecha the gagos tesuos malaya ir homis kriya Eliza v'chalalecha lo chalalei chara v'lo masi melchama. Says Yeshayahu that a prophecy about the valley of vision, a.k.a. Yerushalayim, what has happened to you now that you have all ascended to the rooftops, formerly filled with a commotion, a joyous city, your slain are not victims of the sword, nor casualties of war, meaning the Kohanim were not killed through a war or something like that. They all killed themselves because they knew that it was, I guess, imminent. Afbe Kadosh Baruch Hu Nemar, also regarding Hashem, it says, Mekar Kir Kir Veshua Elahar, that he wanes and laments from the mountain. The fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu cries out because of the terrible destructions that happened when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Okay, so now we proved all the five things that happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and we proved all the five things happened on Tisha B'Av. Now the Gemara goes on to the next part of the Mishnah. We know a famous rule that whenever Av enters, we lessen our Simcha. So Amar Rav Yehuda were the last two lines of the Amud. Amar Rav Yehuda Brei Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Rav. Rav Yehuda the son of Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas said in the name of Rav. This is a very famous rule that probably is more well known than what's said in the Mishnah, but it's important to note that this is not said in the Mishnah anywhere. Kishim shem misha nichnas ab mimata besimcha, kach misha nichnas other marbin besimcha. Just like the Mishnah taught us that when Av enters, we should lessen our simcha, lessen our happiness. So too, when Adar enters, we should be marbe b'simcha. Right. So the famous song of Misha Nechnas Adar Marbe b'simcha, that's not in the Mishnah. That's in the Gemara. But the line of Misha Nechnas Av Mimata b'simcha, that's actually in the Mishnah itself. Okay, we're now in Amud Beis Chav Tes Amud Beis Amar of Papa Hilkach Bar Yisrael De Islei Dina Behadei Nachri Lishtamit Mine Be'Av Derei Mazlei. So Rav Papa says because Av is such a inauspicious time, that's such a bad time for the Jewish people. So therefore, if you ever have a Jewish person who has some sort of a judgment, some sort of a court case that he has to do, or he has to go to with a Nachri against him, so he should avoid doing it in Av, because that's like the mazel is bad in this month. Vilimse nafshe ba'adar, and he should make himself available in Adar to have the court case. Why? Because debarya mazel, because his mazel is good in the month of Adar, right? Adar equals good, Av equals bad. Okay, says the Gemara further, a few more statements of Rabbi Yehuda Breder of Shmuel Bar Shilas Meshmein de Rav. So the pasuk says, Latit Lechem Acharis V'tikva, to give to them the future and the hope. So what is this pasuk that could be found in Yirmiyahu? What does it mean? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Breder of Shmuel Bar Shilas Meshmein de Rav, Elu Dekalim V'Kli Pishtan. This is referring to like the date trees and the linen garments when the Jewish people ended up being exiled into Babel. So the Pasuk promises that they're still going to have date trees and they're still going to have linen garments, meaning that even though they're going to be exiled from the land, they'll still have food to eat and they'll still have clothes to wear. Vayomar, and the Pasuk is further, Vayomar, or another Pasuk rather, in Bereishis, that says, Vayomar Re'ei Re'ach B'ni K'Re'ach Sadeh Asher Baruch Hashem, right? That he said that see the fragrance of my son is like the fragrance of a field that Hashem has blessed. So Amar Rav Yehuda Breder of Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav Kareach Sadeh Shel Tapuchim. It's a little unclear to me why this is like such a necessary teaching, but okay, evidently when the pasuk says that the fragrance of my son is like the fragrance of a field. So what's the field? So it's specifically the if you want to imagine what the smell is, it's the smell of a field of apple trees. Okay, so now we're at the two dots. We'll do a little bit more before we stop. So Shabbos Shachal Tisha B'Av Liyos Betocha Asurin L'Saper L'Chabes. We know that the week, and again, we explained that when we read the Mishnah, that there's a Machlokas Ashkenazim and Sfardim what to do here, right? So Sfardim hold a little bit more of Shavuos Shachalbo, that that's when their 90s quote unquote start. Whereas when it comes to Ashkenazim, we have what's called the 3 weeks and then the 9 days, which begins at Rosh Chodesh, not necessarily the week that Tisha B'Av starts. But the Mishnah holds like a Sfardim. Shabbos Shachal Tisha B'Av Liyos Betocha Asurin L'Saper L'Chabes. Whenever you have Tisha B'Av fall in a certain week, so that entire week it's prohibited to take a haircut and to wash your clothes. Amar Rav Nachman lo shano ela lechabes v'lo bosh, aval lechabes ulahaniach matar Rav Sheshes Amar afilu lechabes ulahaniach aser. So it's an important machlokus over here. Let's say one person wants to go into, he just wants to do laundry. He's not going to wear the clean clothes, but he wants to get the laundry done. It's a Tisha B'Av is a, I don't know, a Thursday, let's say, and he wants to wash his clothes on a Tuesday because he wants to have clothes for the next week. Whatever he does, one big load every now and again. So can he wash the clothes and not wear them, but you done for it after Tisha B'Av. So says the Gemara, this, there's a machlokos in Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman holds that one shouldn't, that when the Mishnah says that one shouldn't wash clothes, so Rav Nachman says that to wash and to wear is prohibited, but to wash and to put it up on a hanger, that's permissible. And Rav Sheshes says no, even to wash and to put it up on a hanger before during the Shavua Shechabo, that would be prohibited to do. Amar Rav Sheshes Teda Debatle Kitzrei Debei Rav. So, and Rav Sheshes brings a proof for his opinion, that even to put it up on a hanger is prohibited to do the laundry during the week of Tisha B'Av, because he says, look at the house of Rav. In the house of Rav, all the launderers of his household were idle. They didn't do any laundry during the week of Tisha B'Av, so therefore you see that one can't do laundry even if you're just going to put it up on a hanger. Masiv Rav Hamnuna, now Rav Hamnuna challenges this, v'chamishi mutarim b'nei kavod HaShabbos l'mai. So if you remember what the Mishnah said was that if you have Tisha B'Av fall on a Friday, it's permissible to wash clothes on a Thursday, which is Erev Tisha B'Av, and you're allowed to wash them on a Thursday because of Kavod Shabbos. So what is this teaching? If you want to say that this is saying that you can wash and wear the clothes, my Kavod Shabbos, what do you mean? You're going to wash and wear the clothes on this Thursday, Erev Tisha B'Av? So what does Kavod Shabbos have to do with anything? Clearly, you're going to wash the clothes on Thursday and put them on a hanger to wear on Shabbos, which is the day after Tisha B'Av. It must be that what the Mishnah is saying over here is that you are allowed to wash the clothes and then put them on the hanger. Ubachamishi hu deshari aval haShabbos kula aser. Right, and what the Mishnah is saying is that you can, it's permissible to clean them on Thursday and to put them on the hanger, but the rest of the week it's prohibited to do what? To wash them and to put them on a hanger. So it's clear that this is a clear refutation of the opinion that says that you can wash them and put them on the hanger, because that's specifically what the Mishnah is saying. You're washing these clothes on Thursday and you're going to put them on a hanger, and that's only permissible because of Kavod Shabbos. But if it was not for Shabbos, or if it was not in such a situation, then you can't even do this any other day of the week. So it's clearly only for Kavod Shabbos that you can do it. And again, it's only to put on a hanger and not to wear. Says the Gemara, no, not so fast. That's not a good refutation. Why? Because the Olam L'chabes V'lilbosh, you can really say that when we said that you can... Excuse me, when we said that you're allowed to wash the clothes on Thursday for Shabbos, which is after Tisha B'Av, we said it's you can wash them and you can even wear them. Why? How can that be that you were saying you could even wear them? Because we're talking about a case of kasha'in lo ela chaluk echad. This guy only has one robe, only one shirt. So if he only has one shirt, then that means he's going to need to wear the same shirt every day of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. So if that's the case, so we're saying you can wash your clothes on Thursday, and you can wear your clothes on Thursday, and then again, it's still for Kavod Shabbos, because your clothes are going to be a little bit more clean, because you didn't get a chance to wash them at all during the week, but you can wash them one day, and that is the day before Tisha B'Av, because you're concerned about having them clean for Shabbos. So what does this show you then? So that means if it's permissible on Thursday to wash your clothes and to wear them, that means that every other day of the week it's probably, or maybe at least, permissible to wash your clothes and to hang them up in a hanger. So you can't bring that line as a refutation for this other opinion. Damar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishein lo ela chalak echad mutar lechapsu b'chalosh amoid, right? And you're not dioma, right? So the important halacha that if you only have one shirt to wear, then it's permissible to clean your clothes even on chalamoid. And we assume that if it's permissible to clean your clothes even on chalamoid, then obviously you're allowed to clean your clothes on Erev Tisha B'Av as well. If you got to do what you got to do. So fine. Itmar Nami. It was also stated. Amar. Amar Rabbi Binyamin, Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo shano ela lechabes velo bosh, aval lehaniach mutter. Right, so an important rule that Rabbi Binyamin says in the name of Rabbi Elazar, that when we say you can wash the clothes and you can wear the clothes, this was only said that you're allowed to do this to put it on the hanger. But again, it's specifically only to put it on a hanger. So that was a statement of Amoraim, where they come to say that when the Mishnah said you can wash your clothes on this Thursday, it's only, before Shabbos, that's only if you're going to put it on a hanger. Meisvei, they brought a refutation for this. Asr lechabes lifnei Tisha B'Av, afilu lehaniach la'achar Tisha B'Av, v'gehot shalanu kekibos shalahen. So they have a brisa that's a refutation. They say that it's prohibited to wash your clothes before Tisha B'Av, even to put them up in a hanger for after Tisha B'Av, v'gihus shalanu, and the ironing or like the press in Chutz La'aretz, that's like the washing that they used to do in Eretz Yisrael. The kli pishtan ein behem mishum gihutz, and there's no concern about the linen clothes regarding pressing clothes, and so therefore because of that tiyufta. So now we understand that clearly, since it's prohibited. Since the Braisa says specifically that you can't wash or press your clothes for after Tisha B'Av, even if again you're just putting it on the hanger and it's just for after Tisha B'Av, nonetheless we say it's prohibited. So therefore, this is a clear refutation of the opinion that says that the Mishnah was implying that you can wash your clothes on the Shavua Shachalbo for after Tisha B'Av, because clearly over here that's what the Braisa says specifically, that you can't do that. So therefore, at the end of the day, we find that you can't wash your clothes on Shavua Shachalbo even if it's for after Tisha B'Av. If you need to do laundry on the Shavua Shachalbo on the week of Tisha B'Av, too bad, you can't wash your clothes except for one case, and that is if you are standing on Thursday before Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a Friday and you want to do it for Kavod Shabbos, then you could do it, but otherwise you can't wash your clothes even to put them on a hanger. So with that, we'll stop right here. God willing, next time we'll continue. So I think what we're going to do is, just so that everyone's aware, so we're in the middle of Chav Tes Amud Beis. We have like 1.5 dapim left, so I think we'll split it into 2 shiurim. So next time we'll get to like the middle of Lamed Amud Beis, God willing, and the time after that, so God willing, 2 weeks' time, we'll make a siyum on the Masechta, and we'll have to figure out together collectively what we're going to do, if we're going to do some sort of a Zoom siyum or whatever, but we'll figure that out, and then we'll have to choose what the next Masechta is. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. We still have two weeks left, but everyone should have a great night.